the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Trust. And so he's saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. And notice again, it's a matter of the heart. It's the matter of the heart that really matters. Amen. So we need to know that if our heart is not right, we cannot trust God. He said, with all thine heart. The problem with many of us in our heart, we got too much junk in there. Well, we got too many people in there. You got Roscoe, who you didn't forgive 10 years ago. You got Jill, who you didn't forgive when you was in college. All of these people are in your heart. You got bitterness in your heart. I'm mad. Oh, come on and say, man, I don't like them. I can't stand the ground they walk on. You got too much stuff in your heart, so you only trust in God with a portion. And you got all the stuff that you got. You got the life that you have right now, and you've only been trusting God with a portion of your heart. Imagine if you give him your whole. Where would you be if you gave him your whole heart? How far along would you have come if you would have just given him your whole, your heart? He said, trust in the Lord with all thine. The innermost part of your being should be trusting God. Amen. I doctors are good. Thank God for doctors. But I trust God more than I trust the doctor. Because sometimes the doctor will walk away shaking their head, say, you know, there's nothing else we can do. But God will give you more days. God will give you a second chance. Oh, yeah, they'll give you a bad diagnosis, but then God will turn around because you're trusting him with all your heart, and he'll turn around and bless you and keep you. Amen. And look what God will do. He'll keep sending you back to the same doctor who said, you got 5 days, and he's the doctor scratching his head. Well, I don't know. He's trying to take notes about what he did, but it's not what he did. It's what you did, because you trusted God with all your heart. That's what it's, and you need to let the doctor know, Doc, I know you're a good doctor. You do good medicine. You practice really good. But I know somebody who don't practice. They know what they're doing, and I trust him more than I trust you. But thank God for you. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. We need to have total dependence on God. A man with a divided heart and a man with a double mind might as well not even trust God. The Bible says in James, he tells us, he said, a double-minded man is unstable. You need to stop. Let's not be double-minded. Come on, let's not have a double mind. Amen. A person with a double mind speak with a double tongue. One minute you say God will heal you, the next minute I just give up. Come on. The one minute you say I got it, and the next minute you say I guess I ain't supposed to have it. Come on, don't be a double-minded man. He said that a man that is double-minded is unstable. There's some instability. So God can't sit the blessings on an unstable foundation. Come on. He got to be able to sit it on something, because my blessings, I don't know about you, but my blessings hold some weight. Come on. So I got to have something stable to sit my blessings on. So I can't be unstable in my ways. Amen. And he said that if a man is like that, he said, don't let that man think that he can receive anything from God. And so I can't afford to have a double-minded. I can't afford to be double-minded or a divided heart. I got to trust in God with all my heart. And look at what he said. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I don't need to try to figure it out. I don't need to try to think it through. You know why? Because while I'm trying to figure it out, God said, I already did it. He's already worked it out. I don't need to think it through, because he's already given me what to do. Come on. I don't have to try to figure out what's going to happen next, what's around the corner. Guess why? Because as long as he's walking with me, as long as I'm being led by him, he's not going to let me walk around the corner into a trap. But he'll prepare me. Oh, yeah. He'll get me ready, get me right, so that when I do turn the corner, even if there is something that's going to be a roadblock, he'll give me the whole arm of God, and the enemy can't hurt me. I can overcome. Oh, come on and say, man, I'll be more than a what? Conqueror, because he loves me. I trust him that he loves me so much that he's not going to let things come against me and to destroy me. And matter of fact, he gave me a word, and I'm going to bind it around my neck. He said that that thinking not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. We need to know that these things are not going to destroy us, but the trying of our faith worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And guess what? I got a hope that make me not ashamed. In other words, I can trust God and I'll never be ashamed. I can trust God for a healing, declare my healing, and I don't have to hold my head down. Oh, come on and say amen. Don't you know that you got to trust him like a woman trusts her husband? What a kind of woman would trust her husband and then have to go to the beauty shop and hold her head down because her husband was out at the club last night acting a fool? But a woman who trusts her husband, she can trust that he did the right thing last night, and she can hold her head up and not be ashamed. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that we need to trust God as the bride of Christ. The church is the bride. We need to be able to trust him that he'll do whatever he needs to do. Whenever we need him, all we need to do is wait on him, and he'll come in and turn things around. We need to know that God is dependable. People may not be dependable, but one thing I know, that his arm is not short, that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But I know God, he's dependable. Oh yeah, he won't let you down. That's why the older people sung a song that said, leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm not leaning to what I know. I'm not leaning to what's in O Magazine. I'm not leaning to what the doctor and lawyer says, but I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. And if I can hold on to his arm, I believe he'll lift me up out of the horrible pit. Oh, come on and say amen. I got to get finished here. Lean not to thine own understanding. We need to have dependence on God. I'm totally dependent on him. I know I'm going to get out of the way. I know it's been a little while now. But I have to get this to you, because you first have to dedicate yourself and then depend on God for whatever it is that you need. Trust in him. He said he'll supply all your need according to his riches. Now, God knows that you need something. Amen. And guess what? He's rich in cattle and land. I'm saying that for somebody today. Don't look for what I got. He got plenty. If you need a steak, he's rich in cattle. If you need some land, oh, Lord, help mercy here. I wish the Holy Ghost helped me today. He'll give you what you need. If you like what somebody's driving, you know what? He owns the dealership. I know the people who get the check, they're benefiting, but it really belongs to God, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So all I need to do is have a relationship, become a son of God. Oh, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I'm telling you that if you dedicate yourself and you depend on him, he'll cause you to prosper. Hallelujah. Let's go on to verse 6 so I can get out of here and let you go home. Verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So we understand that we got to be dedicated. I believe you got that. And we understand that we have to have dependence, total dependence on God. But we also need to understand that when we are dedicated and we have total dependence on God, that he'll direct us. Amen? He'll give us direction. He says, in all thy ways, in everything I do, I need to acknowledge him. I need to talk to him. God, is this the way I need to go? God, is this the person I need in my life? God, come on and say amen. Is this the job that I should have? We need to acknowledge him in not some of our ways, because sometimes we want him just on Sunday to tell us what to do. Lord, what church you want me to go to? But then on Saturday, we go to okay. So we need to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will what? They that are led of the Spirit of God. I'm led of the Spirit, and he's what? Directing me. He's giving me a spiritual GPS system on the inside. You ever had a time when you felt like something is going wrong? Guess what? That is an alarm that is set off in you, and God is what? Directing you and saying that something's wrong. He's directing you to go pray. He's directing you to go read. He's directing you to get in his face. He's directing you to know that you need to cut ties with that joker right there. Let him go. Come on, let the doorknob hit you. Praise his name. Look, he says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. See, the problem with a lot of people is that they think it's only one way this, one way that. But he said paths, P-A-T-H-S. That means that God will direct you in different ways for different things. Come on and say amen. And so if God gives us, he gives us more than one path. What I'm saying here is that when you dedicate yourself and you're depending on God, he will give you options to get, amen, in your life. He'll give you so many options. In other words, that you've been praying for the right job, God say, I got 10 of them right here. Choose which one you want, which one you want, which one. You want that one? Try it. Maybe you want this other one. You've been looking for the right house. God said, look, you're approved, go pick it out. Here's about 10 of them that you, come on and say amen. You're looking for the right wife here. God is saying, I got about 10 of them waiting. Come on and say amen here. I'm giving you some options, but God has to give you those options. Don't try to make it happen for yourself, but you need to be dedicated and begin to what? Depend on God, and he will give you some direction. Are you getting bored on me today? Are you ready for me to hush up today? Well, I got a little while to go, so you might as well wait on me. Amen. He said he'll direct your paths. He'll give you the options, and he'll show you how to make the right exit at the right time. How many know it's important to know that God will give you direction? He'll be your GPS. He'll say, exit here in 2 miles. Oh, come on. He'll say, now it's time to stop right here. Oh, come on and say amen. Because do you know if you mix your exit, you got to go way out of your way and turn around and go further out of your way to come back to the place he told you to get off on in the first place. Oh, come on and say amen here. So let him direct you. And the word path means highway. Let him direct you in the highway. And you know why they call it a highway? Because sometimes only the king, they made a road only for the king to travel. And it was called the king's highway. And because people could walk through a trail, but the king had to have a. And so he'll direct you on the highway of the king. He'll put you on the same path that King Jesus was on. Y'all don't hear me here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He'll put you on the same road. Hallelujah. And sometime while you're going on that road, it may mean that you go to a crucifixion. But guess what? That road might lead you down to hell, but it'll lead you back to the grave, and it'll lead you to a resurrection. Then it'll lead you to, come on and say amen, it'll lead you to a seat in heavenly places. He'll direct you. I'm almost done. And he says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from what? Evil. In his direction, he won't direct you to continue in evil. He'll start to direct you to let go of some evil. If you're doing the same thing that you were doing 20 years ago, he hadn't directed you, or you hadn't followed the directions, I should say, that he's directed. If you're still the same person you was 20 years ago, you hadn't gotten any better. Something's wrong. If you love the person you was 20 years ago better than you love the person you are now, something's wrong too. Amen. But thank God that I'm wiser. Thank God that I'm stronger. Come on and say amen. Thank God that I'm not the same buffoon I was 20 years ago, because I was a clown. Oh, come on and say amen. There's some things I couldn't do around my mama and daddy because I would embarrass them. So I'm glad that I'm not the clown I used to be. Thank God that he changed me. He directed me to give up this and to give up that, and to the point that I've come to where I am now, and I'm still not complete yet. Oh, yeah, he's still working on me. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still getting better as the days go by. Anybody think they've arrived, that I'm as good as I'm going to get? You, something's wrong with you, because God is going to make you better even in your older age. God makes you better than you was back then. No, I may not be able to run and jump like I used to, but guess what? I don't have to, because I'm smart enough not to tie myself out so I can get the job done. Oh, come on and say amen here. You know, the younger boys always want to challenge me in basketball. I can't do what I used to do, but guess what? I'm not going to let them beat me. So I'm smart enough to know how to lean on them and tie them out and get them just as tired as I am, so I can do layups on them, because I got more wisdom now. Oh, yeah, when I didn't have no sense, I thought I can do anything. But now I got plenty of sense. I know what I can't do. So God gives me the what? Wisdom. He directs my path. Verse 8 says, and it shall be health. Lord, I like this. Shall be health to thy navel. Amen. It shall be health to thy navel. I'm going to stop for a minute right there. When you start to think about this, he's saying that it'll be. The word navel in that text really is the word shore, which means the umbilical cord. He said it'll be health, just like an umbilical cord. If I can dedicate myself to God and depend on him, acknowledge him in all my ways, he said it'll be health, just like an umbilical cord, how detrimental it is for a baby to develop and to grow, because from the umbilical cord, and when a baby's in the womb, the baby, or in the stomach, whichever, the baby does not eat with his mouth. The baby receives nourishment through the umbilical cord. Amen. And so he's saying, if you can acknowledge God, if you can trust in the Lord, he said it'll be like health that a baby gets from the mother to grow. And so not only is it the nourishment, but the blood, the connection. He said, if I can dedicate myself and depend on God, it'll be like a connection that a mother has with a baby. And so whatever the mother gets, the baby gets. That's why mother ought to eat right, because whatever the mother eats, the baby gets. That's why mother shouldn't drink. A mother shouldn't smoke. Come on and say amen when you're pregnant with your baby, because it will get to the baby. That's why mother shouldn't use drugs while they're pregnant, because it will what? Go to the baby. So what he's saying here is that everything that God has, I'm connected to God. And so just like the blood of Jesus that cleansed me from all my sins, I'm connected to God. And so whatever God has, it's nourishing me. Whatever God has, it comes to me because of my connection. So what do God have? God has a healing. So I'm connected. So whenever I need healing, it'll come through the umbilical cord. What else does God have? God has peace. So whatever God has, because I'm connected to God, it'll come through the umbilical cord, the spiritual umbilical cord, and I'll receive it by God. And whatever it is, it automatically. You see, one thing about feeding a person in the mouth, they got an option here. They can either close their mouth. They can either spit it out, or they can say, I don't want no more. But when you got an umbilical cord, you have no choice about what you're getting. And because I'm dedicated to God, because he's directing my path, I have no choice but to be blessed. I have no choice but to get the nutrients of the word. I have no choice but to do what God wants me to do because he's carrying me. I got to go wherever he goes. When he's resting, I got to rest. Oh, come on and say yes. When you're connected by the umbilical cord, oh, come on and give God glory. Then you realize there's a special connection. There's something that people talk about now. They say that there's an umbilical cord that we can't see that's connected to every mother and every walking child. And in other words, that a mother knows when something's wrong. A mother knows when their child needs something. A mother can hear when their child cried. And just as the umbilical cord that they have with their children, the connection that they have, we need to have a connection with our Father. And he knows when something's wrong. We don't have a high priest that can't feel our infirmities. He knows what I need. That's why he can supply my need according to his riches and glory. God knows what I'm going to do. He knows when I'm not right. But because of the umbilical cord connection, he gives me blood that'll wash away when I mess up in sin. The blood connection will wash away my sin. Oh, come on and say it. So there's a constant flow of the blood, a constant flow of cleansing, a constant flow of life. Even when I'm trying to kill myself and doing something I shouldn't be doing, I'm on my way to destruction. I get my connection with God, and he replenishes me. But look at what else it said. He said it'll be like marrow to your bones. Oh, come on and say amen. Not only will it be like an umbilical cord, not only will you have a connection. I wish I had time to tell you about the marrow, but the marrow to your bones, what he's talking about here is that when I trust God, it'll be like the marrow. It'll be like the fat or the liquid that goes through my bones. See, some blood vessels supply blood in the bones, and that's what the marrow's made up. And just like I'm connected to God, and all of a sudden the blood of Jesus, it'll connect to me on the inside, and I begin to grow. How many know that you can't grow unless your bones begin to expand? And so God will give you what you need so that you can begin to grow. And you know what the marrow does for a bone? The marrow, if you don't have good marrow inside of your bones, the bones become brittle. The bones become vulnerable. Come on and say amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God will keep my bones. He'll keep supplying what I need to keep giving me structure and keep giving me strength. The marrow is a supporting structure for your bones. The marrow on the inside keeps the bone strong on the outside. And so every bone in your body, it's not easily broken because of the marrow. Now, what are you saying in reference to me, preacher? I'm saying if you trust God, you won't be easily broken. The devil will press on you. He'll put some stuff on you. That's why the scripture says that we won't get no more on us than we can bear. You didn't think you were strong enough, but thank God for the marrow. Thank God for the connection. Thank God for the word. So now I'm getting stronger. And because I'm getting stronger, because of my connection with God and my dependence on him, I'm not going to be broken up. I'm not going to be destroyed because of the anointing. That word also means, it means to oil up. And because of the oil that's down in my bones, my bones won't be broken. There was a scripture that says that the Christ, that not a bone in his body would be broken. And when Jesus was on the cross, when they broke the other two guys' legs, they didn't have to break his bones. Somebody say yeah, because he was already dead. What I'm trying to let you know is that if I give my life to Jesus, even though the devil comes my my way to try to break my bones, I'm already dead. Come on and say amen. And the life that I now live is not my life, but the life of Christ on the inside of me. Can I get somebody, can I get anybody here who say I got a heart to trust God? I'm not easily broken. I'm not going to let the devil break me. He can bring hell or high water, but I'm still going to rise. Oh, come on and say it. Yeah. Some of us go through the fire. Some go through the flood. But I thank God that we're all washed under the blood. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that if you got the blood of Jesus, if you got a connection to God, then you can be as strong. Oh, come on and say amen. You can be as strong as a horse. You can be as strong as a mule in the spirit realm, because I'm not going to be broken up. Oh, come on and say yeah. And when I look at what God has done, I look at how many times the devil tried to break me, how many times the devil tried to press on me. Oh, come on and say amen. Even though I'm pressed, I'm not destroyed. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. Oh, come on and give him glory. You're wondering why your relationship been through some stuff? It's because he's trying to break you. But guess what? I got some marrow in my bones, and we're not going to break up. Say yeah. Say yes. When we look at what Jesus did, he was so strong that he carried a cross after losing pints of blood. Went up to the hill. He was strong enough to lay on the cross, strong enough to take nails in his hands, strong enough to be lifted up, and to still open up his mouth. Come on and say yeah. He was strong enough to say, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was strong enough to save a thief while he was on the cross. He was strong enough to say, God, I give you my spirit into thine hand. He was strong enough to go to hell. Come on and say it. Break the door open. Take the keys from the devil and let everybody loose. And he took captivity captive. He left from hell, was strong enough to go back to the grave, laid in a dead state. And he stayed there for 3 days. But they tell me that he knew he was going to be there for only 3 days. So he had a borrowed tomb because he needed it for the weekend. But early, he was strong enough. Sunday morning, he was strong enough to shake off death, take his grave clothes off, and the stone was rolled away. He was strong enough, somebody say yeah, to go through the wall and say, look at me, Thomas, I got wounds in my hand. Say yeah. He was strong enough to show up at the Sea of Galilee and cook fish and barley loaves of bread. But he was strong enough to go back to heaven. And guess what else? He's strong enough to come back at me in the twinkling of an eye with a shout of the Lord and the voice of a triumph. He'll be strong enough. I heard somebody say that with two wings, I'll fly away. I don't know if I'm gonna have wings.